Glad you're here this morning, and I know this is the fall season, but winter is shaking its ugly fist at us, and this is actually my favorite time of the year. How many deer hunters do we have here this morning? One, two, three, four. Hi, Donna. Well, you already know that I'm a deer hunter. I did get a chance to go out in the woods and saw six coons, one coyote, and zero deer. But you know what? Just to sit in God's creation is awesome, isn't it? And I get a chance to spend time with Him, spend time in His Word when I'm out there. So no matter how old you are, if you want to go deer hunting, I can get you all set up. Even if you're 80-some years old, you can set up. My deer stands are easy to climb, and you will enjoy the fall season as we celebrate it together. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we were in the midst of this series on the parables of Jesus. And we looked at the parable of the soils, if you remember. Then we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Has any of you got a chance to be a Good Samaritan since that sermon? Well, I'm just going to tell you, Jim's got a flat tire on his truck. And after this is over, you can be a Good Samaritan. Then we looked at the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We kicked three of them all out at one time. And then last week we talked about the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. And someone actually brought me some yeast bread this week. Not gonna embarrass them at all, but I'm still nibbling on that. Tastes pretty good. So I thank you for that. More is welcome. But I think it's coconut cream pie season, so there you go. Well, today I want to talk about a subject that we don't like to talk about. It's tough for ministers to preach about. It's a sermon series, devotion, parable that we like to think about other people and their struggle with. Well, actually, I think all of us struggle with the parable that we're going to talk about today. What's it about? Greed and covetousness. Let me ask you a question before we begin this morning. How many of you feel like you've got everything that you need? A couple people. How many of you would like to have more? All right, Jim's honest. Well, this morning, I want you to think about wanting more. Let me ask you another question. How many of you have a garage? In a garage, you're supposed to put your car. Be honest with me. How many of you cannot get your car in your garage? All right, Stuart's honest. Heather's honest. Why is that? Because you have too much stuff in your garage. So you need to build a bigger garage, right? Buy a smaller car. I don't know. How about get rid of some of your stuff? We struggle with stuff. We struggle with possessions. We struggle with wanting to make more money. We live in the greatest nation on planet Earth. Can I get an amen? Hey, I wouldn't trade it for the world, would you? Even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of all the problems that we have in our world today, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love the good old US of A, don't you? But one of the things the good old USA struggles with is greed, covetousness, and money. We struggle with that. Wanting more, having more possessions, having a nicer car, a nicer house, nicer clothes. Now, I got a new shirt on here today. Now, these pants I've had for about 10 years. And these shoes I'm wearing, they're Skechers. Anybody like Skechers? I like them so well, when they started falling apart, I stapled them. So I got to buy some new Skechers here before long. But you know what? We like new stuff, don't we? We like to look nice. We like to drive nice. We like to live nice. We live in the greatest land, the greatest country on planet Earth. But we struggle with money and greed and covetousness and having more stuff. Well, in Luke 12, verses 13 through 21, let's read it together. Jesus hits this guy right where it hurts. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of what? Greed or covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all of my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Now, this parable that we looked at just now kind of relates a little bit with the parable of the lost son. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. Now, in this parable, probably the father's dead. The younger son is standing before Jesus, and he's saying, hey, I want a good share of the inheritance. Now, you remember something. If you were the older brother, you got a double portion. This guy's wanting an even mix. He's wanting his share. It's not really his share of the portion. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the older brother always got more. But he wants his share of the portion. You know what the problem is with this man? Greed. He wants what was never meant to be his. The father's no longer around, and the older son has already divided the inheritance, and this younger son wants just as much as the older son. Greed. Greed. The great theologian Charlie Brown once said, most of us live just about one cookie away from being happy. I don't know if you like Charlie Brown or not, but he was right. It may not be a cookie for you, but it may be a car, a house, a possession, clothes, a retirement. John D. Rockefeller was once asked, John, how much money would it take to make you happy? You want to know what his response was? Just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. John D. Rockefeller died a miserable man because he was never satisfied with what he had. I want you to know I've met a lot of people. I have actually buried a lot of people who were never satisfied with what they had. Always wanting more. Even up to their dying day, they wonder how they could get one more dollar. Invest one more thing. Have one more thing. One more thing. The philosopher Epicurus once wrote, nothing is enough for the man to whom enough is too little. I'll read that again. Nothing is enough for the man to whom enough is too little. Think about that. Because that, I think that's who we are sometimes. That's a good definition of greed. Enough is too little for me. I want more. I want more. I want more. And then in the parable, this young fool would die the very next night, and I wonder, when he stood before God, how much more he wanted. Now, before we get into what greed is, pull out your bulletins. I want to talk about what greed is not. First of all, greed is not the simple desire or the need for things. Some wise man once said, we make more money so we can buy more things to impress the people we don't even like. I want you to think about that. Your next door neighbor you don't like just because he buys a new truck don't mean you have to. Because you're not buying it to make yourself happy. You're doing it because he's got one. You got up him one. Be careful with that. Now, there's a lot of truth to this statement. You can be around people who want the latest truck, the latest car, the latest cell phone, the latest shoes, the latest clothes. Anybody ever been around people like that? And if someone has Nike Airs, they got to buy Nike James, LeBron James. Any high schoolers say amen to that? Be careful, though. Because we adults do that sometimes. We got to have something nicer than what our neighbor has or the person we don't like. We got to have something nicer. It's not in your bulletins, but I want you to write this down. Philippians 4:12. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. He was rich at one time. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's a big word, being content. You wake up in the morning and you need to learn to be content. You look at your spouse every morning, you need to learn to be content. You look at the house you live in every morning, you need to be content. You go out to the car and even though it might grind a little bit when it starts, you need to be content with what you have. Someone said, I wake up the same old house, I look at the same old woman every day, I go to the same old bed every day, I eat at the same old table every day. Life's just tough. A life of contentment. Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, Paul went through some tough times. And maybe you've gone through some tough times in your life as well. But I want you to learn this lesson more than anything else. Learn the secret of being content even in the tough times. Let me ask you, have you learned the secret of being content in every situation? That's a tough one. In Mark 8:36, Jesus says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit or lose his own soul? And I've told you this a million times, and maybe a million more times. It's all right to have money. It's all right to have possessions. It's all right to have things. But don't let money, possessions, and things, what? Have you. There's a difference. The simple desire or the need of things is not greed. Number two. Secondly, greed is not the gift of getting more. Greed is not the gift of getting more. In Matthew 25:19-31, Jesus tells a parable of the talents and how they accumulated more. Says these words, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents, he came to his master and presented them to him. He says, Master, you have entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained what? 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man who had received the 2 talents came and he said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Then the one who had received what? 1 talent. Came to him and he says, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. See, I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. Here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I harvested where I've not sown, gathered where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on interest or on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. From this parable, which is an earthly story with a what? A heavenly meaning, Jesus is not condemning more. He's not condemning the talents. Matter of fact, he is commending the servants for going out and gaining 5 more and gaining 2 more. What he is condemning is laziness. Not getting out there and making an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. So greed is not the gift of getting more. It's okay to get more. Some of you have walked into an inheritance, and that's great. But be good stewards of the inheritance that God has given you. Amen? Number three, it leads us to a third thing that greed is not. Greed is not how much we have. It's how we use what we have that matters. If God has blessed you with much, he expects you to use that much for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. I love the fact that Central Christian Church is very mission-minded. Anybody love that about this church? You give to some good missions. And one of the missions that you give to, I know you love, it's dear to your heart, is the American Indian Christian Mission. How many of you have a dear heart for that? Some of you have been out there multiple times to see that mission, to be a part of that mission, to work at that mission. And in 2021, we'd like to go back. Would you like to go? Want to go back and see that Indian Christian Mission. It's one of our mission supports. If God has blessed you with much, what better way to give your money than give it to a mission field? Someone always asks me why Johnson Bible College does so great when it comes to funding missions and having money for this and money for that. And I always tell them they work at it. They go out and they get in the churches and they talk about how you can give your life savings or an inheritance that you got or something you get from your farmland. You can give that to Johnson Bible College. And they go out and they make missionaries with the money. They do. They work hard at it. They really do. Some of them don't. Some churches, some mission fields, some Bible colleges do not work hard at it, but Johnson does. But I want you to know that if God has blessed you with much, God expects you to do something with that. In Luke 12:48, just a few verses down, look. Jesus says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. All of us, and I mean all of us, have been asked by God to use what we have been given for the upbuilding of His kingdom. So there's nothing wrong with having stuff. But you better not let stuff become your God. So greed is not the desire or the need of things. And it's not the gift of getting more. And it's not how much we have, but what we use. So what is greed? What is it? The word greed is a Greek compounded word, and it literally means this. You can write it down in your bulletins. To have an overwhelming, pressing desire to have more. To have an overwhelming, pressing desire to have more. Now, overwhelming here is the key word. Because you see, some people will do whatever it takes. They'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll be dishonest on their taxes. They'll be dishonest in their dealings. They'll be dishonest in their tithing. They'll do whatever it takes to get more. And remember this, you don't have to be rich to be greedy. What? You don't have to be rich to be greedy. You can be the poorest person on planet Earth and you can still struggle with being greedy. Wanting more, doing this to get more. Greed is not a matter of the pocketbook. Greed is a matter of the mind. Remember that. Greed is not a matter of the pocketbook. It is a matter of the mind. What you think, what goes in your mind comes out of your mind. If you think about money all the time, if you think about your possessions all the time, if you think about getting more, wanting more, lusting for more, then you have a problem with greed. I have a friend, I won't mention his name, from Mount Carmel. I haven't seen him in years. He has a greed problem. He also has a gambling problem. As a matter of fact, to this very day, he still gambles. He goes over to Evansville, and whatever money he gets, he gambles away. And this is a famous saying from him, I will win it back someday. Ever heard that before? I'll win it back someday. And everyone who's ever talked to him says this, no, you won't. He has lost his fortune. He has lost his wife. He has almost lost his children, all in the name of greed. I want it back. Well, I got news bulletin for him. He won't ever get it back. And if he does get it back, he's already lost so much it's hard to replace. What does he need to do? Number one, he needs to come to repentance and make right what was made wrong. Then number two, he needs to be careful with his money and his possessions and what's been given to him. He needs to be good stewards of the money that God has given him. When everything becomes about you, that's greed. What else is greed? Follow along if you will. First of all, greed is the desire to bring security to life through things. In Matthew 6, 25 through 26, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Not only is worrying about your life and the security a sin, it also subtracts years of your life. How many of you knew that? How many of you worry a lot? Be honest with me. How many of you worry a lot? Oh man, a lot of you. Did you know that worrying was a sin? Fretting over stuff is a sin. Worrying about this, worrying about that, your health, your life, your finances, your spouse, your life is a sin. Studies have also shown that not only will you subtract years of your life, it also makes you unhealthy not to attend church. How many of you knew that? I'm glad you're all here today, amen? You will live longer because you came here today. Now that's free. Isn't it great to be healthier because you come to church? And I tell you the truth, I have sat at the bedside of many people dying. And they were dying miserably. You want to know why? They had no affiliation with the church. They didn't go to church. They didn't care about going to church. But when they sit there and they're dying, lying on their deathbed, I want you to know there's a lot that goes in their mind. Having a relationship with God, having a relationship with God's people. It goes through their mind a lot. One of the things I've heard a lot in my life is this: when you turn 65, Social Security won't be there. How many have heard that before? Now, do I have a concern about that? Yeah. Will Social Security be there when I'm 65? I think so, don't you? Do I know? I don't know. Does it matter? Not really. The Bible says, be content in every situation that you come against. And whether Social Security there, whether it's there or not, I care, but I'm not going to spend my whole life worrying about it, are you? Because here's the deal. Your home and your security is not here. Your home and your security is in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My burdens are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There's a second thing about greed that we need to know. Greed is more evident in those who struggle with self-esteem, competence, and control. If I just had one more thing, I'd be happier. If I just had a nicer car, I'd be happier. If I just had a nicer house, I'd be happier. If I just had nicer clothes, I'd be happier. If I just had a better body, everybody say amen. If I just had a better body. I went over to the new fitness place. What is the name of it? Is it Ryan? I can't remember his name. What? Ellis, is that right? I don't even know who Ellis is. I went through there, and I'm thinking, yep, I need to do that. Need to do that and that. And instead I walked out and ate some of their steak. But you know what? I could have a better body. I'd feel better about myself. Maybe it would give me more self-esteem. But I want you to know, I'm not going to focus on that. I want to focus on what God has created for me to be here in this world. The rich man in Luke chapter 12 thought he had it all. Thought he'd made it all. And his problems were gone. He was going to sit back, build bigger barns, store away his wealth, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I know a lot of people like that. I've worked 40 years. Sit here and we'll coast through life. Just take it easy. I've got a good pension. I don't need to work. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to coast through life. This ought to be a warning to you. And I've said it, and I'll say it till the day I die, until they close the lid of your casket. God has a job for you to do. Amen? He does. Some wise soul once noted, he who dies with the most toys still dies. There's a lot of truth to that. It's a humbling thought. Does anybody know the richest man who ever lived? Not Bill Gates. No, not Warren Buffett. And no, not even Jeff Bezos. Who's the richest guy who ever lived? Solomon. Made Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett look like a pauper. Man was loaded. He had all the wealth in the world. He was the richest. He was the most powerful. He had it all. And he writes this near the end of his life when he finally straightens up and sees the light. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not an encouraging book. Matter of fact, it's a little bit discouraging until you get to the last couple chapters, the last chapter. Because all Solomon talks about is meaningless. Meaningless. Money is meaningless. Even long life can be meaningless. And he says, who's going to get my money? Who's going to get my wealth? And he spent most of his life worrying about it until the very last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And it seems like he straightens his life out. You know, God tends to get people's attention when they're laying flat on their bed in a hospital and they don't know where else to look but up. God tends to get your attention. If you're this morning and you're trusting in money and you're trusting in stuff to make you happy, to build your self-esteem and your confidence, you're looking to the wrong stuff. How about looking to God? Learning the secret of being content in every situation. Number three, greed is a misunderstanding of creation. We are stewards of God's creation, not creators. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him, and get this, and for him. Without him, what? Nothing was created. Old Job, I love Job. Anybody else love the book of Job? One of my favorite books in all the Bible. Because I'm thinking, well, Job did this, this, and this, and I would have done that, that, and that. And he seems to have this patience. Patience greater than any other person on planet Earth has ever had. And he writes this in the midst of his family being taken away, his farm and his possessions being taken away, and he writes these words, "The Lord giveth," finish it, "and the Lord taketh away." Well, he goes on to further say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the dust I came, to the dust I return." Blessed, everybody say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, I don't mean to be crude or nothing, but I want you to know today that you're dying. From the moment you took your very first breath, you began to die. Now, that's humbling, isn't it? But every one of us is dying. Now, you can either die right or you can die wrong. Amen? You can either get closer to God by being faithful to Him, or you can get further away from God by being unfaithful to Him. And friends, no matter how much is in your checking account or your savings account, and no matter what kind of material possessions you have, it is all God's. My truck's His. My car is His. My house is His. The land I have is His. It's all His. And when I die, it all goes back to Him. It might be humbling for you, but it's true. And as Christians, we're to be good stewards of the possessions that God has given us. Can I just tell you that I don't like Ted Turner? Now that you know, I don't like Ted Turner. Ted Turner is a billionaire. Well, let me use this in past contents, because Ted Turner was an arrogant billionaire. Matter of fact, he said in so many words, "I'm God. I'm God." And the thousands and maybe millions of acres that he has out west, that's all him. That's all his. He's going to be in control of that because he's God. I got news for Ted Turner. When he stands before God, you know what God's going to say? "Not yours, Ted. It's mine." Now, the good news from my study, and I could be wrong, do further research on this, Ted Turner has turned a corner a little bit. Because of the loss of his sister and because of the suicide that came by the way of his dad, he became bitter with God, very bitter with God, hated God, and even put himself in the place of God. But since then, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's turned a corner. As he gets older and closer to death, he realizes that God is who he says he is. That he is the creator and the sustainer of this world. Amen, right? Hope he comes to salvation. I believe there's a lot of Ted Turners in our world today. Now, they may not be as vocal as what Ted Turner are, but they do it through their emotions. They do it through their spending. They do it through their lust for greed. Be careful. God is the creator, and we are just servants. Number four, greed is a misplaced worship. It is idolatry. In Colossians 3:5, Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." Now, when you think about greed, you don't think about idolatry. You don't think about being dishonest or disobeying one of the Ten Commandments, which does say that we're not to be greedy. But when we allow our work, our place of employment, to disrupt our worship and what God has intended for us to do, Hebrews 10:25, look it up sometime today, it is time to start looking for a new job. Now, I don't think she'd care. I have a friend, her name is Michelle from Clay City. And she would come to church whenever she could. But there was days she couldn't come to church because of what? Work. And she told me, "I hate my job." So every Sunday I'd rub it in. Whenever she could come there, I'd say, "Hey, Michelle, how's your work going?" "I hate it. I want to quit." You know why I'd tell her? "Quit." "What?" "Quit. If your job or what you do keeps you from God, can I just say it to you? Quit. Because there is nothing more important than what you do on Sunday morning right here." I didn't get an amen. There is nothing more important than what you do right here every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Your worship. And if you can't be a part of that, let me tell you something. You are missing out on something very valuable about worship. One little girl's coming home and her mother says, "What'd you do at church today?" And she says, I washed it. I washed up. You did what? I washed up. She said, you mean you worship? Yeah, I mean I worship. But then isn't that what we do when we come here to worship God? We wash up. We clean ourselves up so that we can be in, so that we can be competent worshipers of God. I don't know what you think heaven's going to be like, but this is what I picture of heaven. And you know, you look in Revelation, and it seems to give us a great description of us kneeling before God around the throne, worshiping the Lamb of Lambs, the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords, forever and ever and ever. Never another problem. Never another gray hair, amen. Never another aching bone. And you look better than you ever looked before. If you're one of those people that look in the mirror and you say, eh, well, you're going to look even better than that. And we're going to get to worship Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Don't let anything or anyone distract what you do here on Sunday morning. Number five, fifth and finally, greed is grounded in fear and lacks the trust that God will provide for His children. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 31 through 33, so do not say, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father already knows that you need them, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, I want you to remember this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added to you as well. Someone has said, if you strive for earthly things, that's all you get. But if you strive for heavenly things, you also get earthly things thrown in with it. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. When you look at this parable of this rich young fool, six times he mentions the word I, or the word my. And if you find yourself saying I and my a lot, I this and my that, I want you to know that you have a problem with greed. Because greed isn't about me. Greed isn't about you. Greed, we need to evade because we serve the living God. Amen. Proverbs 15:27 says, a greedy man brings ruin to his family, but he who hates bribes will live long. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. Solomon spent his whole life acquiring wealth. But just before his death, it seems like he got his life right with God. As we come to our time of invitation, if you're here this morning and you find yourself wanting more, always striving for more, always wanting more, having this and having that, wanting more stuff, if you find yourself always checking your portfolio or your retirement account, then you might have a greed problem. I want you to sometime today do this assignment. I want you to take an inventory of your life. Take an inventory of your life, and if this were the last day of your life, and it could be, if this were the last day of your life and you had to stand before God, what would God say to you? He would either say one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Or He's going to say, you fool. You fool, you spent time investing in the wrong thing. Let's pray together. Father, it's easy to get tied up in this world. It's easy to get tied up in money and things and earthly possessions. Lord, forgive us when we do that. Lord, help us realize like Job did, we came empty, we go empty. From the earth we came, to the earth we return. And that word blessed means happy. And Lord, if we do what Paul says, learn the secret of being content in each and every situation, we can be happy. Lord, I pray You'll be with every person here. Lord, help them to do an inventory of their life. Help them to ask the tough question. If I had to stand before God right now, what would He say? It's in His name we pray. Amen.